Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our God and our Father, we thank you that we can, again, that we can be here this evening. We thank you for your grace, for your mercy. Spirit of God, just help me as I bring forth this message. Give me clarity of thought and speech. More that our hearts might be stirred, and more that you would move us in thy direction. Thank you again for your kindness to us. In Christ's name, amen. Distractions. I wasn't here for Sunday school, but I understand a brother spoke about getting a phone call. And from what I understand, I guess he was relaxing in his lounge chair or something, and all of a sudden the phone rang, kind of disrupted what he was doing. Disruption. Some of you that have children, small children, you might be busy doing something, and a little tyke comes over. Daddy, daddy. I'm doing something right now. Daddy, daddy. Oh, what? You know, that type of thing. You get disrupted, unfocused from what you're doing, etc. We have that every day. We have disruptions every day, all the time. So I'd like to look at that a little bit. So if you could turn in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, very briefly. And it starts off in chapter 1, verse 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. And then he makes this statement. Vanities of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanities of vanities. All is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor, which he taketh under the sun? Vanities. Emptiness. Life. What does life have to offer? It ends up, it's all gone anyway. As it says in verse 4, one generation passes away, another generation comes, but the earth abideth. The sun rises, the sun goes down. Sunrise, sunset. Sunrise, sunset. Get up to go to work, you come home, you eat, wherever it is. Vanity of vanities. Chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'm going to read a very familiar passage to most of you. Starting in verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the sun. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones. A time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. That does sound pretty boring. What profit hath he that worketh when he laboreth? Now, there's something missing in that list that I just read, those verses. A time for this, a time for that, a time for this, a time for that. I don't see anywhere, in my Bible anyway, I don't know about yours, but I don't see anywhere in there where it says a time for God. Without God, life is boring. Life is vanity. No time for God, and that's what you're left with. Interruptions. Interruptions. I want to look at interruptions. So let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Might as well go back to where it all started. And beginning in verse 8, chapter 2, verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So God planted a garden, planted the trees. All the trees were pleasant to look at. They were all fruitful, had fruit, good for food. Even the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you were to look at the garden, how would you know which was the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Because it was pleasant to look at. It wasn't like it was different than all the rest. It was all leaves were falling off or something, had rotten fruit on it, or maybe red fruit or something. No, it was all nice to look at. Every tree was pleasant to look at and good for food. Now, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou shalt eat of it, therefore thou shalt surely die. And there's no record there where Adam says, Which tree was it again? Adam just said, yes, Lord, no problem. I won't eat of that tree. God told him which tree it was. I won't eat of it. Never gave it a second thought. So there, Adam, Eve was created. They were in the garden. They took care of the garden. They dressed the garden. Going about their own business. Chapter 3. Now, the devil's got to figure out, how am I going to interrupt this? How am I going to break this up? Adam and Eve, they're obeying God and stuff. I got to break this up. I got to break this relationship up that they're having with God. So now the serpent, chapter 3, verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Now, I think this verse is actually kind of interesting. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now here's Eve, in this case. Adam and Eve are both there. But he says something to Eve, and here's Eve working. She's probably pruning. I don't know what she's doing in the garden, but whatever she's working. And here comes this guy, this creature, if you will. Just says, has God said? Now, if I'm busy doing something, somebody says something to me, Wait. I'll get there. I got to finish this or whatever. But he says to her, has God said not to eat of every tree of the garden? And instead of doing that, the woman responds. She says to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Eve was interrupted of what she was doing. Her mind was taken off from one thing. It was distracted from one thing to something else. Doing the work that God told him to do, dress the garden, now it's distracted to something else. And the serpent said unto the woman, verse 4, you shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and God said the tree of good and evil would be good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, God told him that it would be pleasant to the eyes, but God also told him what? Not to eat of that tree. But she saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise. Where did that come from? That didn't come from God. That came from the distractor, trying to get her attention, trying to get her eyes off of what God had said, trying to make it appeal to her. So she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave it also to her husband with her, and he ate. Now he should have known better, but he did it also. And the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They knew they did something wrong. Verse 10. I'm going to skip down to verse 10. Oh, verse 9. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. In verse 11, God said, who told you that you were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? That's interesting. God commanded, and Adam disobeyed. The result was they lost their relationship to God. They died spiritually, and they were going to die physically. Being distracted from God's word. Turn to Exodus. Exodus 19. Chapter 19. Now, starting in verse 3. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, this shalt thou say unto the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar, special treasure unto me, above all people, of all the earth. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. All that you have spoken, all that God has spoken, we will do. God told Adam and Eve, or Adam, don't eat of that one tree. All that you said, I will do. Got distracted, ate of the tree. Chapter 20, next chapter, Exodus 20. Starting in verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Commandment, first commandment. Back in 19, all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken we will do. Verse 20, first commandment. God gave him the first commandment. Chapter 32. Now Moses, back in chapter 31, Moses just went through giving them the commandments again. In verse 32, Moses again was up in the mountain, delayed his coming. He's been up there 40 days, at least. And when the people saw that Moses, chapter 32, 1, and when people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain, and had been waiting for him for days, weeks, a month, the people gathered themselves together, delayed themselves to come out of the mountain, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, get up, make us gods. We shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who knows where he is? We haven't seen him in so long. We don't even know what's become of him. Make us gods. And Aaron said unto them, break off the gold. Instead of Aaron saying, no, we can't do that. God says we shouldn't do that. Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in their ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people broke off golden earrings that were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it of a graving tool after he had made it a molten image. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. God just gave him the commandment. Don't make yourself any graven images. What was the distraction here? I'm just guessing. I mean, I wasn't there. But I'm thinking, Moses has been gone for a long period of time. People are now getting bored, maybe. Getting distracted by doing this or that, and here come some people saying, hey, let's make us a god. Why not? They had a commandment, they were distracted from that commandment. The result, verse 7, 32, 7, and the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people which broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which they brought up out of the land of Egypt. They have corrupted themselves. All that the Lord says we will do. Maybe. Adam and Eve corrupted themselves. The Israelites corrupted themselves. Deuteronomy. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 5. They were all distracted. They all got corrupted, and there was a penalty to pay. Deuteronomy 5, chapter 1. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the commandments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep and do them. Verse 27. Again, in chapter 5. Moses went through all the commandments again, everything that was told. And he just said, here, learn them, keep them, do them. Skipping down to verse 27. People telling Moses, Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. Now that sounds good. In fact, verse 28, The Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke unto me, and the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. What they said was good. What they said was good. However, verse 29. Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me, and that they would keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children. A heart problem. Do you have a heart? Do I have a heart for God? Do I not only have a heart for His Word, but to keep His Word, to do His Word? Well, you might say, well, that's the Old Testament, that's Israel. What does that got to do with me? Well, let's see. Let's turn to the New Testament, and we'll go to Ephesians. Start with there. Besides, you think, you know, you would think they would know better, and, you know, I'm not like that. I'm not like that. No, not me. All right, let's see, Ephesians 4. Let's go down to verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, lifting up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Is that how we speak all the time? Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. How can we grieve the Holy Spirit of God? Whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. How can we grieve the Spirit of God? 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's actually a commandment. Do we ever grieve the Spirit of God? Just a thought. Chapter 5. Skipping down to verse 14, I think. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then, verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly. And the word circumspectly means accurately, exactly, perfectly. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How are we doing with that one? Redeeming the time. How do we redeem our time? Are we redeeming it rightly? Accurately? Is God involved in it at all? Where does God fit in to our time? In our walk. 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. Verse 15. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How are we doing in our Bible reading? How are we doing in our studying? Do we have time? Do we make time? Or are we distracted? Something else comes up. I don't have time for that. All that the Lord has said, we will do. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. All that the Lord has said, we will do. Just an observation. Sunday morning service, we have a group of people. Sunday evening service, less. Wednesday evening, even less. Why is that? What is the distraction? What is it that keeps us from our own devotional time? What is it that keeps us from our own study time? What is it that keeps us from our own prayer time? Sports? Sports is a distraction? Can be. Not that sports is wrong in and of itself, but can be a distraction. I can't come to church today. I got a golf game. Soccer game. My son plays baseball. Oh, it interferes. Interferes with church. I got to go. Whatever, you just fill it in. Sports. Sports can be a distraction. Outdoor activities. Hiking. Fishing. Hunting. I have to go to the beach. This is a great beach there. The only chance I got to go. Whatever. It's Sunday. Where are the saints to be? Saints are assembled in the presence of God. All that God said I will do, except today I've got a golf game or whatever. Entertainment is another one that can keep us from the Bible, that can keep us from our study, that can keep us from our prayer, that can keep us from church. TV, computers, electronic games, smartphones, hobbies, you name it. Next thing you know, the day's over, time for bed. distractions from the time spent with God. Brings to the final question in Matthew 15. Turn to Matthew 15. Among other places, we'll just go there. Matthew 15, verse 7, Jesus said, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. All that the Lord has said, I will do, but my heart's not in it." That's where distractions can get you. Today is Sunday. Oh, I have to go to. I got to go to church today. Saints. How about the golf game? I don't have time for the golf game. I don't have time for church because I have a golf game. Distraction leads to attraction. You're distracted from what you should be doing to something you shouldn't be doing, and eventually you're attracted to that. And your time going to church, using that as an example, your time goes to church is less and less. Where is your heart? All that the Lord has said, we will do. Is that where your heart is? Is that where my heart is? Now, I'm speaking to myself, too, because I have a problem with this as well. Is that where my heart is? Or am I caught up in something else, other things?